This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world. Today on Dreamland, we're going down a path that we have never gone down on this show before, and too few people have really gone down this path with somebody who knows what they're talking about. And it is an important path to every person who has had a close encounter experience, and probably every person on the planet. It is a question: are we genetically altered or not? We're going to be talking to Max Rempel. Max is a PhD molecular geneticist. His career has included experimental biology, bioinformatics, genome sequencing, biomedical engineering. He has an MS in chemistry and from Moscow State University, a PhD in gene biology. He moved from Russia to the United States in 1996 and has held research positions at the Virginia Commonwealth University, the National Cancer Institute, the University of Rochester, and more recently directed a genomics and microscopy study at UC San Diego. His scientific publications include work appearing in Nature, Genome Research, Cancer Research, and the American Journal of Human Genetics. He is the founder of the nonprofit DNA Research Project, DNA Resonance Research Foundation, and creator of the Starseed Genetics Project, which we're going to be talking about. Are there starseeds here? Are we starseeds? Are you a starseed? Well, it's possible to explore that scientifically rather than just talking about it sort of in the New Age context, because we can find out. And Max knows how to do that. Max, welcome to Dreamland. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
I want to start right away from the main message of today is that you can sequence your DNA for $379 full genome sequencing at sequencing.com. Send me the data. You pay for the sequencing. You send me the data, and I will look for alien traces of alien genetic manipulation in your sequences. We already looked at four samples, and we see some unusual things, but we need more data to get more evidence, more statistics. Total, we have about 60, over 60 people who volunteered, and we analyzed some of them through 23andMe, some of them through MyHeritage, but full genome sequencing is what we need. It's great, and we see a lot of signal there.
Well, I'm certainly going to do it, and I want to point out that Max doesn't profit from this. This is not, it's separate from Max.
I put my own money in that, yeah. I do right, the analysis exactly. For free, yeah.
So the point is this, that he's not selling something on the show. You have to pay to get your gene sequenced is the point. And otherwise, he can't do any work on it because he's not in the business of sequencing them himself. So, but he does know a great deal about him. You're an established molecular geneticist. You've worked in a lot of conventional American research institutions. Now, something must have persuaded you that reports of hybridization, alien hybridization, must be testable. What started you down this path?
Right. 2009, my birthday, I finished the book, The Field, by Lynn McTaggart, and it talks about quantum nature of reality, that nothing is real, everything is following quantum physics rules, even human bodies. And when I closed that book, a very logical question popped in my mind. What about the aliens? And I opened YouTube and internet, and 2009 had already a lot. And I immediately recognized the faces of the greys, and I'm very good in search. So I searched everything. I dug through all archives, everything. And it was immediately clear that there is something there. And I Googled for ufologists in Rochester, upstate New York, where I was at the moment. And on Wednesday, like 4 days later, I went to a ufology interest group led by Richard Dolan and Cookie Stringfellow. And I was a little late, so at that time already a person was speaking, and it was the best presentation I saw and listened ever. And then I interviewed that person for many hours, several times, and it's all published on YouTube. But essentially, she is an abductee with genetic manipulation and with a good memory of everything. So that was right away. In a few days, I had everything.
So now... You use the term starseed.
Yep.
And I find that very interesting. Why do you use that particular term?
The terms have flavors. I'm sure there will be more names as we go deeper in that. You have abduction. Abductees, right? Which means that you were taken against your will. You have contactees who were contacted with their will. You have starseeds basically seeded from the stars to the planet. And I think starseeds is great because mostly people remember their past alien incarnations and they feel like they have been actually landing here from the stars, and they are very surprised how the Earth is different, but they also feel a deep connection with the alien tribes and alien incarnations. And I would have to separate very clearly. Genetics is different. Incarnation is different. You can have alien incarnations, human genetics. You can have hybrid genetics and no memory of alien incarnations. These are two different things. But I think they are correlated.
You know, it's fascinating that you're so upfront about things like alien tribes and so forth in regard to the expression in our world, and yet you are also an established and respected scientist. Publication in Nature does not come to anyone except a really good scientist. It's the top scientific publication in the world. These are what many geneticists would consider ideas so wild that they wouldn't even touch them. And yet here you are.
I mean, the times have changed. I live double life. I was hidden, New Ager, spiritual researcher, alternative science researcher for a long time. And then I merged my identities, and for over 10 years, I'm a single person combining the two. I mean, otherwise, you can't really move forward. It's like lying and hiding is blocking your mind. You have to constantly filter yourself. And to be a good researcher, you have to be really integrated. So that's my work, working on integration, integrating your spiritual side and your mainstream side. So now mainstream people are... I guess some of them are still talking to me, but others are shying away from me.
Yeah, well, of course they are. They're terrified. You know, it's largely career fear that affects people. And, you know, the higher they up are in the community, the more open-minded they can afford to be. And you see that. Like someone like Gary Nolan is untouchable. He's untouchable. Nobody can do anything about his credentials because they're so strong. So he can say and do whatever he wants to. But a young grad student just coming out of university who might be very interested in this has to be very careful, because if he's not, he'll be picked off very quickly by his elder scientists. And this is true not just of science, it's true of everywhere in science, the academic world, the business world. People tend to cling to what they know. And then a certain mind says, well, wait a minute, there's something wrong with what we know. Either it's dead wrong, or like as Galileo discovered, or there's more. And you're definitely in the there's more camp. What are you looking for in a starseed? What is going to tell you someone is a starseed?
Right. Thank you. That's the key question. So We are looking for actual evidence, for actual materialization of this abduction experience. Because, you know, the suspicion is that we are living in a reality when certain things are vague and don't materialize fully. You can have the experience, but what is the evidence? And but the claim that the aliens are doing genetic manipulation of humans is a very strong one, and it even now sounds in Congress, and respectable people pronounce it. Alien hybridization program came to the public consciousness, awareness. And the signals I'm looking for are several, and I invite brainstorming what else to look for. One simple thing is we are looking for some alien insertions in the children. So in classical biology, the child always is half and half mix of parent chromosomes. The chromosomes come in pairs. One is from mother, one a pair is from the father, another member of the pair is from the father. And there is nothing else. In classical biology, there is nothing else. But if there was a genetic manipulation, we expect to see traces of something else. And we are looking at that. We are looking. Now, how do we prove it is alien, right? That's a big question. We can expand on that. So insertions, we can look at point mutations, point substitutions. And we see that also the child would have more point de novo mutations than the parents have. Like compared to the parents, we take the sequences of father, mother, and child, and we look at what is de novo, what happened at the time of conceptions, what new variants are there. And a subset of that is looking at repetitive sequences. 55% of the genome is repetitive. And that is very poorly studied by mainstream science, but it's there. Like the same word, long word, like 300-letter word is repeating over and over a million times. And we are looking at that, and I think it is one of the key places where the aliens would change our DNA. Not because they're hiding, but I think because the repetitive sequence is responsible for resonance, and that would define the vibration of the person. So raising the vibration would require change in the repetitive sequences. Particularly, it's called allorepeat, and we're looking at the mutations, modifications, systemic modifications of allorepeats.
When you say resonance, what do you mean? Now, wait a minute. We're going to take a break before you answer, because this is the right time for a break, and it's a really burning question in my mind, because that's very key to everything here. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
You know, there's an incredible website in this world. You're listening to its podcast or watching it right now. It's unknowncountry.com. Founded by Ann Streber in 1998, it is a huge repository of information about the edge, practical, clear, carefully presented, not a bunch of nonsense, but the truth about the edge, the things that we really don't know, don't understand, and the right paths to go down to find the answers to those mysteries. UnknownCountry.com is absolutely unique in the world. And not only that, it's a load of fun to go on that website and just explore. So go to UnknownCountry.com. Follow the news every day, because it is a great website and the news is hard-hitting and extraordinary. You're welcome, if you're a subscriber, to comment on any story, any podcast. You're welcome also to come to the Wednesday night chat room, which I usually attend myself. It's a wonderful place. So subscribe. Keep it going. $4.95 a month is not a lot of money these days. Should be more, frankly, but it's not. So do it today. Go to unknowncountry.com. Click on the subscribe tab. Help keep this marvelous, extraordinary project going. We need it more right now than ever before.
Okay, we're back. We're talking to Max Rempel. His website is starseedgenetics.com. If you want to participate, it's fairly expensive to get your genes analyzed in a way that Max can actually use in his study. He's not profiting from it. It's $379, and you can buy it through the starseedgenetics.com website. Now, you're looking for DNA in a child that cannot be found in either biological parent. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's the main analysis we are doing, yes.
Now, what if you don't have the DNA of the parents, only the child?
Right. We are looking then for unusual sequences in the person. So we are analyzing, we're already looking at four samples from self-reported star seeds, and we are looking for unusual sequences. That's what I mentioned. Insertions which are not present in human genome and databases or are somewhat divergent from human genome. Basically, the de novo insertions and substitutions. And one of the realizations was that if the aliens are modifying us and they look, many of them look human, human-like, similar, humanoid, they probably have similar human genome. So if we look at the insertions, they don't necessarily have to be completely alien, completely foreign to the planet. They might be very well relevant and somewhat homologous to humans. So we're looking for insertions that are not exactly human, somewhat some percent difference.
So it's, in other words, it's definitely possible to participate in this study.
Yeah. We are now taking individuals.
You don't have your parents' DNA available.
Yes, okay. We're taking individuals as well. Yeah.
All right.
It's more evidential the evidence is way stronger if we have both parents, but we can look at only one parent and a child pairs, and we can look at the individuals. So if you look at a trio with full father, mother, child period, full trio, father, mother, child, full family, and then we can look exactly at the non-parental emergence of mutations or insertions. And if you look at individuals, we look at association. Does this individual have the same more insertions that are not present in human databases? And also, do the star seeds in our collection have something in common? So as we collect more samples, we get much more evidence. So suppose we find a marker of being a star seed, and we show that, say, in our collection, it is 70% of people have that marker, and in general population, only, say, 3% would have that marker. We don't have that yet, but that's the goal, and we are getting there. We had already 60 people participating, and more people sending samples. We are getting there. We will see the associations.
Now, you've examined 581 family trios. Is that correct? Yes.
That's from public databases, yeah.
From public databases. Okay.
Yes.
So in other words, it's not as extensive as what you would get in the genome gene sample that someone would send you. Or is it? In other words, if someone buys a gene sample and then gets it sent to you, it does the genomic sequencing that you're talking about and then gets it sent to you, would that be a better or genomic sample or a worse one than the family?
Got it. So it's the same principle. It's full genome sequencing. You get 6 billion letters per person. It's full genome sequencing. And we are getting that data from public databases, but in public databases, what we are missing is, do these people identify themselves as star seeds? My rough estimate is maybe is about 5% of population are star seeds, genetically modified by the aliens. So in my collection, it would be, all of them would be self-identified as star seeds. So that's the comparison. In my collection, it would be higher percent of markers, star seed markers, and in general population, it would be lower percent.
Okay, now you had some, did you have in the analysis you've already done of those 581 family trios, did you have any of them where the children did not have had apparently non-parental variants?
Oh,
In other words,
just normal. Yeah,
no,
that
no,
was
no. Were there any that fit your study criteria?
Oh,
Children
yeah.
with, yeah.
You always find, even in general population, you find de novo mutations and insertions. So it's about quantitative comparison, not qualitative. So even in
So,
general population, you can see people getting de novo mutations absent in parents, and even insertions absent in parents. It's normal. Now we see that it's normal.
okay,
It's
now
just
you have 11 families where there were non-parental variants that attracted your attention. Why were those special?
This was the first study 2 years ago. That's the first time we saw them. But now we are 2 years later, we are seeing much more. At the beginning, we just looked at the samples using 23andMe genotyping, and we saw only like 10, 10, 15, 16. Now it's up to 90 non-parental modifications, point substitutions. And now with full genome sequencing, we see many thousands per person.
Now, do you have any ideas about, have you a interviewed any of these families that show this? Can you
People
tell us a little
submit.
bit about what they're saying about their lives?
I interviewed a lot of starseeds. I ran the starseed experiencer support group in Rochester for years. So I'm part of the community, ufology and starseed communities, where we share experiences, lots of experiences. And on my site, Starseed Genetics, people submit short report and longer histories of the of their alien contacts and abductions and seeing UFOs and so on. And in the best family, the experience lasts from grandfather, who was a part of massive UFO sighting while serving in the army, in the British Army, in the middle of 20th century. So it goes in generations. The typical experiencers are they remember abductions, they remember genetic manipulation, they remember their some remember pregnancies that started from them, and that some pregnancies were suddenly disappearing, so the fetus would disappear and the mother would not give birth. So these how do you call it? Fetuses grow up on the in a space on a star basis, but some of them are born here and are born to normal human parents. That's us, like Earth-born star seeds.
You know, my father was somehow involved in this in the military, and he wasn't in the military. He may have been in during World War II also, I don't know. But after the war, when he was not in the military anymore, he was somehow involved in this, and his brother was very involved because he was involved in analyzing the material that was brought to Wright Field from Roswell. And I became taken into it at the age of 7. And now, many years later, I ended up in a situation where I believe it was the NSA, the National Security Agency, became convinced that I was either an alien or part alien, and they really hounded me. It was terrifying. They really came after me and to, trying to intimidate me and frighten me. And do you do anything to protect the anonymity of the people involved in this?
All right. If you publish anything And we plan to publish all the findings. We will obviously anonymize the samples, and it will be a sample number with random number. I invite people just to submit the samples to sequencing.com, not my site, but sequencing.com, with fake numbers, fake names. The service doesn't care what name do you use. So put there a fake name, and it will come to me as a fake name. And you can create an email account with a fake name and contact me from that account. I don't really need to know your real number, a real name. That's the best way to protect yourself. And if you want to be not traced completely, you can ask your friend or someone to contact me. You don't have to do it from your own account. But I think that's too much paranoia. I think whoever is on top, they trace everyone. They trace everyone, and they have their genetic traced and genetics and communications. The phones listen to everything. So I think we are visible, and I'm playing with open cards. So I don't hide much of my information, but I will protect your identity so as much as I can.
Okay, that's very important, because I think that there are people involved in this who are more scared than smart about it. Because I mean, why, if a person did have some kind of connection to aliens that could be proved, why not engage with them? Why try to terrify them and intimidate them? But one of the people involved in this said to me, the greatest fear that the intelligence community has in this is the idea of aliens who seem to be human. And I guess that also means hybrids or whatever. And what's the fear about? Max, what do you think? Because I think such people could be assets.
I think we come in peace, and we are gaining telepathy, and we are gaining the ability to read minds, so all the secrets will come out.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. Reading minds is part of the lives of many of us. How about you? Can you do telepathy?
My specialty is to get discoveries intuitively. So I ask a question in the morning, and I get some answer the next step. So that's my specialty. And I read minds, but it has to be justified. Like I usually send email, and I know what person will answer before the email arrives to me. Not always, but if it is important, I get that feedback. So I can focus and kind of integrate with the person, but to do that, I have to forgive them. So basically, I have to become them, and then I can read their intentions. But it's not like the modern, recently discovered non-speaking autistic telepaths. They are much cleaner in reading minds. But to do that, they have to be disconnected from the society, and they have to be selfless. They have to be selfless. And I'm still have to manage the project. I have to be in a mainstream life to know my social security number and take care of the accounts and passwords. So I think these are things like mutually exclusive. Either you are integrated in a modern life, or you can read minds. Otherwise, there is a place where you can be both, but then you have to be on a mission of serving some higher force, higher divine mission.
I think that you describe the telepathic experience to a non that those of us who are not in the speller community that you just referred to, that Guy Dickens and Diane Hennessy talk about, very accurately. And a lot of us are like that. My meditation group, which meets every day, we're all getting very much like that over time. And it's very interesting, because it's based on love, and a joyous heart makes it much richer. Let me put it that way. So, okay, but let's move on here. We're going to later on, I want to get a little bit more into the hybrid issue. And because I've had that up close and personal in my life, and I think I'm not alone in this respect. So after we come back, we're going to ask Max a question. What is a hybrid, and are they out there, and could you be one? We'll be right back.
The president has directed the Defense Department to release all of its documents involving UFOs and aliens. There are rumors that this might actually happen, and even that they might tell the truth. If you read the Whitley Strieber Substack or my most recent blog on unknowncountry.com, I explain exactly why. But if it does happen, does it also mean direct contact with aliens for more people? What happens if they come into your life, your children's lives? It's not going to be abductions like it was in the past. It's going to be a very different experience, something much more like what happened to my family after the communion experience. I wrote two books about it, Transformation and Breakthrough. They were beaten to death by the media and not much read, but they remain the only chronicle of such an experience that has ever been put into print. They're a blueprint for how to make contact work, and it can work, and that is certainly very important. Governments come and governments go, but the visitors are going to be in our lives from now on, forever. So how do we handle this? Is it good? Bad? Are we in danger? Or at the start of something wonderful? Find out how one family made contact work in Transformation 2026, the massive update to the original book, available now on Amazon.com.
We're talking to Max Rempel about the genetics of the close encounter experience, basically. Go to starseedgenetics.com if you can wish to get involved and find out whether or not your own DNA could maybe indicates that you are somehow genetically involved in this. I'm not going to say altered. I'm just say involved in this because we don't know yet what the degree of alteration might be or what its significance is. You can do this in such a way that you remain completely anonymous, and I personally would advise that. I think it's important to do that because there are, I've had personal experience that suggests that there are people out there who are very afraid of this, and I think it's silly, and I think they have an asset here that instead of using it, they're scared to death of it and running away from it. But that's their problem. It's not ours. Our problem is we don't want to get tangled up with people like that. Okay, so Max, the hybrid issue. Let's talk about that. What do you have any thoughts about what an alien-human hybrid would be like?
Yeah. I think we are birthing a new species, and the new species will become telepathic and silent. And I think the recently discovered non-speaking autists by Kai Dickens and Diane Hennessy, they are advanced hybrids. And I think the next development will get to, maybe it will take a couple more generations to get to the future species of the human. It probably will be called Homo luminis, and it will be telepathic. So I think the alien hybridization is primarily aimed at inducing telepathy in people. I know that people are already capable of telepathy, but that telepathy is inhibited by culture and poor ecology, including vibrational ecology. But with the help of genetic manipulation of the alien hybridization program, it is uninhibited. The telepathy is uninhibited. So it's the mutations, I think, are aimed at preventing the inhibition, inhibiting the inhibition by the culture and ecology. And I'm talking with confidence because I ran a co-organized a channeling community starting from 2013, and I had a privilege to speak to channelers every week. So we recorded over 2,000 hours and published over 2,000 hours of conversation with aliens and humans out there in the space and the spirit. So we have a lot of understanding. And there is stigma to channeling, but now as stigma to telepathy is disappearing, so people believe telepathy is real, you have to understand that channeling is a form of telepathy. It's less precise, but it's a form of telepathy. So I was involved with telepathy experiments for over 10 years. And we have a lot of information. It is in my books. I know many of the answers which are puzzle a lot of people now in the ufology community. We've been there. We have normalized that in our life. It became the norm. We are speaking to the aliens. We know their intentions. We know who is who. We know where the bodies are hidden.
Yeah. Well, they're going to know that for sure. You know, I think the experience of telepathy I and my friends have had is very loving. It's very much like the experience that Kai Dickens describes in the telepathy tapes among the spellers. Well, we're not spellers. Most of us are not on the spectrum, but it's still
there.
No, we
are on the spectrum for sure. I am on the spectrum. I mean, you can tell it from 1 minute of me talking. I'm pretending.
I don't think you're
on.
You seem like a very warm man. I don't see you as being on the spectrum. I see you as being a pretty intense scientist for sure.
Yeah. That's there are people of my kind. It's called gifted and talented, and it comes with pluses and minuses. But you know, I cannot watch mainstream movies. It's too scary for me. I live in my purified world, isolated from mainstream. I cannot take the violence, for example.
You're not alone. I'll bet I'm the same way, but I wasn't always that way. I've changed. I can't take it either. I can't take the violence. And, you know, unfortunately, I can't write horror novels anymore, which is why I'm so broke all the time. Because I can't do it. I can't do the violence. It's too much. But let's go on with, you examined part of chromosome 3. Mm-hmm. As I recall, and I'm reading now from some notes about your work, 2.3% of the genome. Now, that seems like a very limited survey. Why did you make those choices?
Oh, that was just random. I thought chromosome 1 and 2 would be too obvious, so we grabbed chromosome 3. And it was just because of the limitations of my laptop's computing power. I was in a hurry to do the analysis before the Contact in the Desert conference, where I wanted to present it to Ross Coulthard. So we did a limited part of the genome, and we found the insertion. So that was self-published. Right now, we're looking at the whole genome, and we see pretty uniform distribution of de novo new variants. Most interesting is the variants which are either revert the child closer to the primate ancestors or move away from primate ancestors. So the families are distributed. There is a certain push to come back to monkeys, and there is a certain push to go in the direction away from monkeys. And there are distribution by the families and by the placations on the genome. So we're still looking at that for a few days, and it's a very exciting analysis. And I still don't know, would aliens want us to become more like traditional old humans or more like non-humans? I don't know that. One of the considerations is that there was a selection against psychic abilities in Christian countries. That was discovered by Dean Radin, and you can listen to him talking about that. Essentially, the Inquisition and other pressures it's not natural selection, artificial selection against witches and spiritual people. So the spirituality and psychic abilities were repressed genetically. Basically, people couldn't make children there and couldn't procreate or were killed. So that sort of is a repression of telepathy, genetic repression of telepathy in Christianity. That's very interesting. I don't know. I think going beyond going to the state before Christianity would probably awaken telepathy. On the other hand, maybe we are moving towards the new human, which is even more away from monkeys. So that's an open question, but that's one of the most interesting analysis we are doing right now, and we see the signals already.
Yeah, the Dean Radin study, it's a small study, and he's looking to do it, is in fact doing a bigger one now, as I believe he told me recently. What it did was it showed that a certain group of people, primarily whose backgrounds were primarily in Central Europe, at the center of the witch-burning area, were lacked a gene which he associated with psychic abilities that's actually common in the human species. And these people had that gene literally burned out of their backgrounds and have been left with this. And I think when you see the skeptics community, you see people who literally cannot perceive what we're all experiencing and living with every day. Because yep. Probably 90% of the people listening to this show have psychic experiences, because they're actually more common. Those genes are much more common than the people who don't have them. So that gets me to the question of, could it be that one of the things that's happening is that there is an intervention that is involving trying to replace that lost material in the human species? Do you have any evidence that that might be the case?
If we knew what are the exact genes, that would be the evidence. Right now we are blind. One of the hints is that probably we could get the location of genes from autism studies. There is a lot well-funded autism studies, and the results are published. So it's the next step is to go. It's called GWAS, GWAS, genome-wide association studies. They're pretty powerful. I know people who do that. I've been part of those studies. So as a researcher, so it is pretty much we'll pinpoint where we get autistic genes. And I think autistic genes are, in large extent, are telepathic genes. So it would be, next step would be to combine the our collection of starseed samples, sequences, and map to autistic map of the genome and see if there are any correlations. Right now it's only in plants, but they're moving pretty fast. So maybe by the next time we speak, we will have something to present.
Well, we certainly will be speaking the next time, for sure, because I consider this a very vital direction of research. The two things, it's the Dean Radin study and what you're doing, are going to really shed light in this very dark corner of human experience, which happens to be also the leading edge of human experience. So it's really important stuff. Now, are you looking only for new sequences absent from both parents, or are you searching for recurring genetic markers shared by unrelated experiencers or contact families? In other words, are you looking just for the first model we talked about, or are you also comparing the genetic gene sequences between among different families?
Both, actually three of those. If we have mother, father, child, we look at non-parental modifications, non-parental insertions. If we have only mother and child, we look again only what is transmitted from mother to child and where the insertions compared to the mother. Now with a full genome sequencing, we can even do that without having the DNA from the father. Although that analysis is much less convincing, much less informative. And we do association for unrelated people. So if we have individuals, we compare them to other individuals in our collection. And we also compare that to consensus human genome. And there are databases which pretty much annotate the frequencies of all possible modifications observed in genetic databases, single point modifications and larger insertions, like 1,000 letter insertions. So yes, we look at associations as well for unrelated individuals.
Now, the questionnaire that I saw asks about contact experiences, family history, and unusual abilities. How do you adjust for confirmation bias in this questionnaire, and how you proceed with this questionnaire?
One thing in the plans is to do hypnotic regressions with experienced hypnotists, and that would give additional information. As you know, hypnotic regressions are much more unbiased. But obviously there is confirmation bias, and there is no way around other than by increasing numbers. Once we get to larger numbers, even basically I use AI to review the histories of the people, self-reported histories, and let it objectively rank the histories. And its ranking is different than my ranking. I naturally, due to cultural stigma and bias, shy away from crazy people. But apparently, the crazier the people are, the less they fit in the society, the more they are alien. That is, you know, when you look at that objectively, that makes a lot of sense. So the most crazy samples which in my collection are actually more objectively more alien. And that's how we control that. But even if you just look at the whole collection, all my starseed collection, compared to the general randomly selected population, if you see some markers enriched, that's sufficient. Basically, people who contact me is already a bias, but we compare that bias to a random sample from the population. And if you see the markers enriched here we are. Like, for example, blood type is famous to be enriched in starseed, so we're looking at that as well. We will be looking at that as well, but I pay attention to that now. Yeah.
The I want to ask a brief question, and I'm not sure about this one, because I didn't see anything in the work I studied prior to this conversation. But I want to ask you anyway, if you've done anything involving exploring distant past possible interventions in the human genome. Now, I don't want you to answer that right away, because we're taking another break. And when we come back, we'll hear what Max has to say about that.
For years, we've been told that Close Encounter is a mystery for governments, militaries, intelligence agencies, officials, and scientists to solve behind closed doors. That's not true. The truth is far more powerful and far more personal. Close Encounter happens to ordinary people like me, like you, and our families. People like us, with hopes, homes, fears, and questions that will not go away, that will only be answered in a relationship between us and our visitors. Transformation 2026 is not a book about belief. It is a witness statement. It's the story of what happened when one family had the visitors walk into our lives and stay with us and live with us for 3 years. They didn't sit across a table from us, but they came to us in many extraordinary ways. Transformation 2026 is a chronicle of that experience, updated with all kinds of new information. So it's a book definitely for today, especially if disclosure brings more contact, which it well may. Transformation 2026. Get it. Read it. Decide for yourself what you would do if something as strange as the visitors came walking through your door into your family's life. That happened to me and my family, and we're still here. You're still here, immensely transformed by our experience. So get it from Amazon. Get it from Audible, read by me. But get it. Do that today.
We're talking to Max Rempel. You can explore getting your genes analyzed at starseedgenetics.com. Your privacy will be respected, and you can obtain the genetic material with a level of anonymity, which you probably should do. Now, what about the past? A lot of people are speculating about the possibility that the human species is the result of an intervention because we're so radically different from everything else on the planet. I mean, we're just totally different. And the next smartest creatures on the planet can't even come close to us. I mean, maybe the cetaceans could, but because they don't have hands, they were not able to manipulate their environment. So they may be smarter, even smarter than we are, but they're much more innocent. Have you ever explored that either in your mind or actually studied?
I didn't place my hands on that, but it is in plans. One of the reasons to study that is that we need some reference sequences, and we possibly would be able to find reference sequences in sequencing of ancient non-human skulls. And those already surface, and in addition to official archaeology, which is completely filtered, completely censored. There is a grassroots archaeology where people just spend their own money, go and dig stuff and buy stuff from locals, especially in Mexico and South America. It's affordable, and I have interviewed a couple of grassroots archaeologists, and they have access to non-human skulls. So that's, they have access to people who have non-human skulls. Mm-hmm. And for genetic analysis, we just need the size of the sample, which can be drilled from one drill bit about the volume of the weight of five apple seeds. So it's a very small amount is needed, and then from that point on, we just send it to the lab, which does that for commercial sequencing analysis from ancient bone samples, and we get the sequences. So that's in plans, and we're looking for sponsors who would fund that research, and that the whole cost is under $3,000. It's pretty affordable.
So it's completely affordable then.
Yeah.
It's just that there's a lot of scientific bias here, because the conventional archaeological community is in a state of sclerosis almost. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is bad. It's like a religious group. It's worse than many other scientific disciplines in that respect. Very rigid. And especially because everything they think is true seems to be more or less wrong. So they're really digging their heels in. Now, let's move on to the idea of, let's go back to the material about the present. And should there be convincing evidence of direct genetic intervention, what about the relationship between humanity and the presence behind the contact experience? How might it change the way we understand ourselves because somebody is out there doing something to us. Now, I speak from the standpoint of an experiencer who has had genetic material removed from their body and engaged with what appeared to me to be a human alien hybrid that maybe came from that extraction of genetic material of semen from my body. So it's a very intense question here. How should we start to understand ourselves? What are we, Max?
Okay. I guess that question is best answered by New Age community and psychedelic community. People who trip regularly, they got used to that idea. They meet aliens there and the telepaths. It became the norm. So it's not as scary as it is for mainstream. The mainstream is dominated by artificial, violent movies and games of angry aliens who are scary and taking advantage of humanity. And the reality is just the opposite. You know, those civilizations are so much more advanced. And to be that advanced, you can't be that selfish. They're serving to others. That's why they're advanced. So for them, our violence is hard to take. So that's why they created the hybrids. So the hybrids at least can survive looking at us. Our world is too dense, too violent, too competitive. What I learned about ourselves is that competition in humans is very unnatural. We compete. We don't compete with the outside. We compete between each other. It's like fighting monkeys who, instead of conquering the world, they fight among each other. And that made us evolve faster because we create more hardship for ourselves than other species. And this competition gives us also more life force for some reason. That's a paradox, but I'm pretty confident. This competitive part made us so attractive to the aliens because with this self-competitive feature, we are more full of life and more full of emotions than other species, other humanoid species. That's why we're so attractive. So once the secrets come out, there will be a shift in human perception. And this human perception is important in two ways. First, the aliens, the positive aliens, they respect the free will of humanity. They respect the free will of humanity and they wait for official invitation. They don't want to force themselves on us. They want to be invited. That will make the whole game much prettier because if the humans invite them, then it is a relationship of equals. And on karmic level, it's very important for humanity to hatch ourselves from the delusion and come to the galaxy rather than to be forcefully hatched. It's much healthier. And the second reason is that we are in some sort of illusionary world, a Maya, like Hindu Indians call it Maya. And in modern language, it is a multiplayer game. We are souls sleeping in this multiplayer game and dreaming it collectively. It's a collective multiplayer game. So in this game, the main rule is that you see what you believe in. So once humans awaken to the idea of the aliens, it would be much easier for the aliens from outside of this game to come and actually be present physically, even the hybrids. So once, you know, that collective awakening will bring the contact much closer. The open contact will bring, this awakening will bring the contact closer. It will enable the contact.
That's really, it's very encouraging. It's very encouraging. I think that we have to get to the point, though, where the government people are not so afraid. They're beginning to admit, I believe, is it David Grush who has said that there are hybrids out there? And, you know, I am very isolated from most of the whistleblowers won't even talk to me. That's changing. But David Grush won't even be in the same room with me. And I think that I'm kind of a pariah in that community. The ones that know that or believe that I am part alien are terrified. I don't think I was born that way. I think it was injected into me in my early years, perhaps just after I was born. Could it be that a person's genes could genetic makeup could be changed after they were born?
It's way harder. I would say maybe epigenetically you can awaken some of the dormant sequences. That's for sure can be done. But to change the core sequence is possible but hard. Current molecular biology plays with that idea for treatment of cancer. Essentially, you take the white cells, modify them, genetically modify them, put them back. So some of the cells become modified, but doing that on the brain, I guess with alien technologies, everything is possible theoretically. But I think it's not the main thing they do. They do mostly the modification at the time of conception. But answering your question about being ostracized and taken and kind of separated, I think we come in peace and we take over the world through peaceful means. The hippies already did that. They became mainstream. Many of the scientific discoveries became mainstream. The part of alien hybridization already reached human awareness, global awareness, and it will become the mainstream science. The genetic research of transformation of humanity into the new species will become the main topic of the science. I mean, there is no way around. It is inevitable. It's coming. We are just on the forefront, but it's obvious. Once you look at it, it's obvious. We have to understand in deep detail how we are mutating to the new species. And actually, there will be conscious choices who do we want to hybridize with. These Pleiadians, Sirians, Arcturians, Reptilians, Draconians, Greys, Grey hybrids. You know, that's our choice. How do we modify our genome to become what we want to become? But we are pretty much are forced, faced the global shift. It happens on the planetary level. We must become telepathic. There is no way around. As we should awaken to telepathy. Telepathy is already in our genes. We just need to awaken to that. And that's basically a task. People will be trained to become telepathic. The mainstream people could become telepathic, and I think that's the schools of telepathy will be the main part of the transformation.
Wow. You know, this has been quite an adventure, this show, because there is so much speculation out there about the genetic relationship between people's genes and their connection to NHI, to the visitors. The experiencer community is just fascinated by this, and I think that you're beginning to bring some real clarity to it, and I think we're going to go farther down that road. I hope we will also go down another road, which is that the experiencers themselves have got to be seen as an asset rather than as a danger. Right now, from my own personal experience, I think we are seen very definitely as a danger and still as a danger. Otherwise, some of these people, the whistleblowers, would interview with me. A few of them have a different view and are very open to it, and there will be more of them being interviewed on this show in the fall. But we've got a ways to go with a government that is frankly terrified of us. And they need to figure out what we can get as a community and I from the experiencers. And I think, Max, you have touched on a lot of it very beautifully, because this is a lovely community of people. There's nothing wrong with us. We have a lot to offer. It's not too woo or too weird, not at all. And people like Max are helping to make this happen by helping us to define who we really are genetically in the core of our being. Starseedgenetics.com. Get your $379 together and buy your genetic sequencing and let Max tackle it. Let's see what happens. Thank you, Max, very much for being with us on Dreamland. It's been incredibly illuminating.
Thank you, Wheatley. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Our theme music is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Strieber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Strieber is your Dreamland host. And I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander.